Hello everyone and welcome back to Kai's weekly playlist. Today we're going to continue our first half of the capitalism podcast, and today we're still going to talk about Adam Smith as well as some newer theories and also about concepts relating to capitalism, but works the opposite way. Yet first of all, let's move on to The Invisible Hand, which is one of the most famous aspects of capitalism. Although it was really mentioned in both Theory of Moral Sentiments, 1759, and An Inquiry into Nature and Wealth of Nations, 1776, of Adam Smith's most renowned books, a lot of economists still refer to it. And thus, it is one of the most important phrases when learning about capitalism. Invisible hand is the concept or the idea that societal benefits may be unintentionally created through capitalism. Adam Smith says that it is unseen forces that move the free market economy, taken from an essay on economic theory, 1755. By Richard Cantillon, who inspired Adam Smith in many of his theories. It is when the interdependency of consumers and businesses satisfies social wants. In other words, self-interest and freedom of production is able to comply with the best interest of society. This allows the free market to find equilibrium on its own without the help of the government and determine their own flow of trade. This may create benefits larger than planned market economy. Aside from that, the equilibrium price shows the value of different products, such as which is the most in demand. And what kind of things does majority of the customers wants, as well as the quality of a particular brand. However, the downfall of invisible hand is the possibility of monopoly, exploitation of workers, social inequalities, and inefficiency, since capitalism assumes that company can change their manufacturer or service quickly to follow changing market demands. And this is really the case. Moreover, capitalism highly depends on the initiative or willingness and creativity of people for further economic advancement. And besides, not all countries are suitable for the free market. For example, Ghana's GDP went from 14% in 2011 to 4.1% in 2015, while Jamaica experienced an increased criminality, chronic inflation, high internal debt, and trade deficit between 1960 until 2006 due to free market. And it's not just monopoly that can be resulted from capitalism. Monopsony can also exist, as well as recession or unemployment due to overexpansion of the market. An interesting fact here is that with the introduction of capitalism, privileges existed, and this diminishing marginal utility of wealth comes in. Based on Alfred Marshall in Principle of Economy, 1890, diminishing marginal utility of wealth is when happiness or satisfaction does not increase with income. I've also talked about this further in my previous podcast of happiness versus money. And indeed, the graph of wealth in materialistic ways and satisfaction comes into a plateau, into a stagnant phase. It does not infinitely goes up proportionately, but there comes a point where people has other priorities or other concerns unrelated to financial situations. because with enough money, people can care for other things, such as health, family, relationships, and even self-love. In contrast, lack of privileges take away equality of opportunity, and this means a broader range of things, such as education, hospital facilities, proper shelter, and even adequate food or clean water supply. This is a common case in many African countries due to poor transport or even the lack of source. And as for the recession I mentioned due to the overexpansion of the economy, I said, one of the most well-known example of its instability is the Lawson boom in 1980s, where prices of house fall, but interest rates rose quickly. In a simpler sentence, the cost or price to pay for rapid growth is inflation itself. Next, we will learn about socialism versus capitalism. And as I have hinted or implied, although minimum, the bare minimum in the first half, I would like to remind you that socialism is really often linked to capitalism because they're both like, you know, yin and yang. Socialism, in a basic definition, comes from, well, society and the ending ism. And based on that, socialism is where the means of production are public owned and that the government regulates it so that it is equally distributed to meet the needs of every citizen. And just as capitalism has its downfall, then socialism also needs high taxes for it to work properly. And these very high taxes is the one that hinders fast economic growth in socialism. And without further ado, I would like to directly contrast capitalism and socialism. By the ownership of assets, it's clearly that one is owned by private individuals, while the other by society or directly under the government. As well, for income inequality, one is by unseen market forces, as I explained, by the invisible hand, and the other is distributed according to need, according to the necessities to survive. And this relates to the consumer prices, where capitalism is based upon demand, but socialism is fixed by the government. Capitalism encourages efficiency and innovation by competition, while socialism has less focus on this kind of aspects because its concern, its objective is to make sure that everyone has a fair share of production results. But this also means that socialism gives a lot of subsidies, such as to hospitals, to pay some parts of the bills of the citizens. Meanwhile, in capitalism, since it's coming from private sectors, there is less incentive to lift the burden of health prices. And the last will be taxes, which clearly is higher in socialism more than capitalism. But yes, some countries do implement socialism into their country, into their markets. And yes, it does work well. For example, China. Since the 1st October of 1949, China has built its economy into a very global scale, a very powerful and stable economy. So yes, we could say that socialism does work well for certain states. aside from China, there are also Cuba, Vietnam, and Laos. The second term that is mostly linked with capitalism, although similar yet slightly different, is liberalism. And yes, although liberalism means freedom to some extent, it has quite a different meaning to it. Firstly, capitalism is an economic system upheld by private ownership, but liberalism is an ideology, not a system. It's an ideology to support capitalism. But remember, liberalism is not capitalism itself, and is usually political or moral ideology. Yet, capitalism is known earlier than liberalism. Capitalism starts at around the 18th century, but the term liberalism is becoming more popular only by the 19th century. There is around a 100-year gap between them. Even the theorists are different. For liberalism, it would be John Locke and Thomas Hobbes that is often mentioned. While in capitalism, it's either Adam Smith and Karl Marx. And yes, liberalism is commonly found in Europe, such as the Scandinavian countries of Sweden, Denmark, and Finland, and Norway, Iceland, New Zealand, Switzerland, even Canada, Australia, and also Germany. And this ends the core of the podcast today. For the next, probably the next minute, I'm gonna talk more into what I've learned when I was researching about capitalism. Capitalism is more than just a system of where money rules. It's not just about a system where the working class are exploited, but it's also about the possibilities, about the invisible hand that is actually controlling our market. Because the supply and demand theory itself comes from us. The demand and supply, as well as the rapid changes of the market, starts with the consumers and the companies themselves. So in a sense of way, we are the one that create capitalism. And yet, if we are unable to balance it, capitalism might hinder innovation and improvement of production processes. Because if the privileges are turned to inequality, and inequality turned into loss of opportunities, then it's not just a loss to one people, one person, but in a larger scale. Because capitalism is not just bounded to one area, it could affect the whole world, and probably it did, because money has become a basic necessity, and labor force is indeed a commodity. Nowadays, there are terms like corporate slaves, and maybe some people chose it as a way of life to enjoy the riches that they saved after they retired. And I'm not saying this is wrong, but there are a lot of mistreatment, a lot of overworking communities that is normalized. And instead of finding the middle point or the solution into which the overbearing pressure of the office, in contrast to personal life, work pushes further into life outside the office. And yes, although people will choose to do work life integrity rather than the balance between them. There is a difference between integration and unpaid sacrifices. While the poor are suffering miserably to gain even the least amount of money, the richer are gaining even more wealth. And thus capitalism, instead of bringing prosperity into both economic classes, the gap becomes wider and deeper. And that's where criminality comes. And that's where capitalism becomes the villain. If capitalism does become hero, then there should be a way to maintain it. Because it's not just about utilizing capitalism to the maximum, but it's also about keeping that prosperity. And the podcast done. Thank you for listening, and Kai's weekly playlist will return next week. See ya.